Just say no to the cookie. Right? Every diabetic has been told this at some point or another, which, yes, if you just say no to the cookie, you'll probably see better outcomes. But in today's episode, I want to talk more about how to say no to the cookie, like to build self-discipline, and why, of course, diabetics who can say no to the cookie will see better results in their health, but also my favorite side of the topic, which is how do I say yes to the cookie and still see the results that I'm after, which is stable blood sugars. See, I got a massage recently, and no, it wasn't the kind that makes you feel relaxed. It hurt very badly. But in this sports massage that I got, I learned an important lesson about what I now call productive pain. I want to get into that a little bit today as we talk about discipline and diabetes and break down today's lesson. If you don't know who I am, my name is Matt Vandevecht. I'm a certified master fitness trainer and nutritionist living with type 1 diabetes. And in today's lesson, I do hope that you find some golden nuggets that enable you to make diabetes suck less and to get those blood sugars under control. Let's hop into our theme song and we'll jump into our lesson.
I've spent the last 10 years pushing the limits while identifying trends and patterns in my type 1 diabetes management. Follow along as I learn, apply, and share the fitness, nutrition, and lifestyle strategies that I've learned from diabetes experts around the world. The real question is, how can we live fearlessly with diabetes while maintaining stable blood sugars? This podcast is here to give you the answer. My name is Matt Vandevecht, head coach and co-founder of FTF Warrior, and welcome to Part of My Pancreas.
So I went in yesterday for this sports massage, and if you don't know, I'm training for a half Ironman right now, and it's actually, as of today, it's like a month away. So that's exciting, but also a little bit nerve-wracking. But as I've been training for this, my body has been complaining nonstop. An enormous amount of injuries and obstacles that I've had to overcome because I've never done something like this before in my life. Never thought that I would do this either, but that's besides the point. But I've been going in every once in a while to get these sports massages done where they, I think it's technically called a deep tissue massage. They dig in and just destroy your muscles. But what they're actually doing is restorative. It's meant to help your body to recover and to enable you to perform better. So as I'm getting this massage, I'm wincing, I'm groaning, I'm like, ah, like trying not to tear up because it's so painful sometimes. But throughout the entire process, in my head, I'm like, this is worth it. I know it's going to be worth it, right? And of course, at the end of it, after all the pain is done, I'm like, whew, I feel better. That was good. I'm glad I did that, right? More mobile, more limber, and things feel better overall. So during the process, I call that productive pain. As I'm going through it, I'm like, yep, this kind of sucks, but I know it's going to be worth it. And with diabetes, there's a lot of different aspects, especially type 1 diabetes, that we look at and we're like, okay, I know this is going to be worth it. This is hard, but I know it's going to help me get to my desired result. Now, a number of years ago, actually a lot of years ago at this point, but my wife and I, as a part of our honeymoon, we went to Thailand. And actually the whole honeymoon, absolutely cool. Quick side note, side journey here. I had this dream to fly all the way around the world at some point in my life. My wife was like, down, let's do it. And so for our honeymoon, we flew to New York, which is where I actually lived out there for 3 years. And we started dating and did long distance because I'm from California. And we did long distance relationship for a couple of years. And so we revisited New York as the first stop on our honeymoon. From New York, went to, where was it? Bali, I think. And then Phuket, Thailand, and then Japan, and just continued around all the way around the world and then ended up in LA. So we had flown all the way around. Just side note, I thought that was so cool. And we came back a day earlier than we had left or something like that. I don't know. Time zones are crazy. But while we were in Thailand, we found out you could get massages for like $5. We were like, yeah, let's do it. What we didn't know is that the style of massage is a little bit different. And it's like a level beyond deep tissue. It was incredibly painful. And I don't know that there was a purpose behind it. It's like sports massage, I know the pain is worth it. In the Thai massage, it felt like the goal was just to see how much pain you could hold on to, you know, and get through. So I'm sure there's a purpose behind it, but I'm just not used to it. Maybe I'm a wimp. I don't know. But that was one of the most painful experiences in my life. And so getting through that, I now look at the current massages as productive pain. And maybe that was more of just pain. But the idea I want you to pull from this is that with diabetes, there are some things that are just useless, right? It's like it's pain for no reason. Like if I were to go eat a snack without taking insulin and my blood sugar skyrocket, well, what have I just done to myself? I now have a high blood sugar. I'm causing damage to my body. There's no purpose behind that, at least no beneficial purpose, right? Now, outside of that, though, the productive pain that I was talking about earlier, the discomfort we put ourselves into intentionally with diabetes, those who are more disciplined will see better results. And this is something that I've been working on myself a lot over the years. When I first started with diabetes, when I was diagnosed, I didn't care about the rules. I was extremely irresponsible. I did not always take my insulin. I definitely didn't check my blood sugars. And I didn't have a great acceptance phase. I was in denial, right? And it took me a long time to realize the importance, but also the benefits of taking care of myself, actually testing my blood sugars, actually counting my carbs, actually dosing appropriately, and figuring out my insulin to carb ratio. And then beyond that, of course, getting into the precision control that I'm in now, where I've maintained over 90% time in range. Oh my gosh, wait, this is the month. This month, I forget which date it is, but I will have maintained over 90% time in range for 5 years. So I have to double check on that, but it's coming up this month. But that's where I'm at now, is that I recognize precision is better because the more controlled my blood sugars are, the more freedom I have to live my life, right? That's why I talk about the cookie, right? I want to be able to eat the cookie and have stable blood sugars. But to get there, you have to develop this certain level of discipline. Self-discipline, right? To be able to say no to the cookie if you had to. And when I look at the most common traits for successful diabetics, discipline is one of them, resilience is another. You have to have that unbreakable spirit because diabetes requires our attention every single day. There is no break, ever. That's really hard, right? But in the realm of discipline, looking at the habits that we have to build, pre-bolus being one of the tops, right? To have to sit and stare at your food for 10, 15, 20 plus minutes sometimes and wait to take your insulin and then wait to eat. Man, that is difficult to do. And it certainly is a learned ability, right? But in addition to the pre-bolus, counting your carbs and not just diving into a plate full of food, but knowing that that plate is math. That you have to identify how much insulin to pair with how many carbs you're about to consume. How long should you wait? Because the pre-bolus is not always a static number. It's not always 15 minutes. Sometimes it's 10, sometimes it's 20, sometimes it's 5, sometimes it's 30, right? It changes, and so our knowledge has to be there as well. But within the realm of diabetes, I've seen this common trend that the more disciplined we are, the better our numbers become. Right? And the more responsible we are, the more we take responsibility over our diabetes. So recognizing that, yes, diabetes is something we have to accept, but also something we have to give the necessary attention to, and that we must be committed to get the outcomes. So if I'm committed to the stable blood sugars, the outcome, I will go through the pain, the discomfort, the necessary steps to get there. If I'm committed to this 90% time in range, I know that taking 20 minutes to pre-bolus for my food, right? I take my insulin, I just kind of hang out, wait. Maybe I'm making my food when I'm waiting, right? But if I wait that 20 minutes before I take my first bite, I know that I am saving myself hours and hours and hours of high blood sugars, right? If I skip my pre-bolus, I will spike and I will stay in the high blood sugar ranges for hours on end. So why would I not sacrifice 20 minutes to gain 2 or 3 hours, right? And when you put it in that perspective, it makes so much more sense. Of course, I'll wait 20 minutes if I save myself 3 hours. But the issue is that so many people are not willing to put off that gratification, to delay gratification. They think, but I'm hungry now, I want to eat this now, and then they deal with the hours of out of range. The issue too is that the 20-minute pre-bolus is pain or discomfort to me that I can feel, I can see. The high blood sugars for most of us, we don't have a strong feeling attached to that outside of frustration, right? Nobody else knows that you have a high blood sugar. They know if you're waiting to eat your food. So it's this internal discussion we have to have with ourselves, internal decision we must have to give up 20 minutes to maybe look a little weird, have the waitress or waiter ask you why you're not eating your food. I mean, I could go into detail on so many different stories where I've had waiters or waitresses come up to me and say, oh, excuse me, sir, is everything okay? You know, like, why aren't you touching your food is basically what they're saying. Like, is the food rotten? I'm like, no, it's fine. I had to take medicine for this. I have to wait for my medicine to kick in. I'm diabetic. It's my insulin. Right? And they're like, oh, okay, just making sure. And it's just fine. But you have to be willing to endure that. Sometimes it's a little awkward. And because of that period of time that I'm waiting for it, it enables me to have stable blood sugars after the meal. I'm not saying that pre-bolus is the only thing that's going to save you. And it is very different person to person and situation to situation. For example, maybe as a little golden nugget for this episode, if I were currently sitting at a blood sugar of 60, hypoglycemia, right? I am not going to sit and wait 20 minutes to eat my food, because hypothetically, in a perfect world where everything exists at a constant, if my pre-bolus was 20 minutes, that means that I would stay at 60. I don't want that. I want it to go up because I don't like low blood sugars. In fact, I hate them. They're the worst, right? I mean, let me know if you think that lows, and in your opinion, not like scientifically backed, but are lows worse than highs or are highs worse than lows? I gotta know, because to me, a low means red light, stop, I can't function, whereas a high means I might not feel good, my time and range is getting impacted, but I can go be productive still. So to me, I feel like if I had to pick one, I'd rather be high than low, because lows, they feel terrible and they just stop you in your tracks. But let me know your thoughts. So anyways, if I'm low, I'm not going to pre-bolus the same amount. If I'm super high, I'm also not going to pre-bolus the same amount. It might be extra long, right? So all of our decisions, all of our frameworks and strategies must change with new information that's presented to us. But the big picture is, are you willing to do what is necessary to achieve the results that you say are important to you? Oh, I want 90% time and range too. Well, are you doing the things that you already know you should be doing? Probably not, right? Or if you are, then what's the next step? Well, identifying or realizing that there might be steps that are missing that you don't know about. There's a gap in understanding, right? And in that case, that's where it's helpful to go find a coach or a mentor or an expert who can help fill those gaps in for you, depending on which gaps are missing. Right? If you don't know what to do for exercise, go hire a trainer. If you don't know what to do for your diet, go hire a nutritionist, right? If you don't know what to do for your blood sugar formulas, go hire a diabetes coach. Like, you got to figure out what the gaps are in order to fill them, which would enable you to then know what to do and then to do the thing that you need to do to get the results. So first step is just identifying this productive pain. Right? With the massage, for me, I was just bearing down, like, this hurts, right? But I knew it was good for me. And sure enough, at the end, mission accomplished. I feel better. My pain is significantly reduced. I can get back into training today. Now, in the realm of blood sugars, it's a little bit less linear. And in most cases, you can't have someone just do it for you. And of course, with my training, I'm also stretching, I'm doing mobility exercises, I'm constantly foam rolling and doing all these different pieces to make sure that I'm recovering properly. So there is a level of responsibility that falls on the individual, which is you, okay? With diabetes though, you have to have this willingness or this discipline to do the things necessary in order to accomplish the end result. And that comes down to, is it worth it to you? And when things do get tough, like when you're starving and you need to pre-bolus, but you don't want to, Why are you doing it? Why is it important to you? And for me, there's two reasons that I like to look at. One is past, and the other is future. So past, this is typically rooted in pain. What are some pains that I've previously encountered? Well, last time I didn't pre-bolus, I went super high, and I felt sick to my stomach. It destroyed my time and range, and I know that it's destroying my body on the inside. Okay, I'm going to use that painful motivation to encourage me to do the opposite, which is to do the pre-bolus next time. And I'm using pre-bolus just as an example. Insert whatever you're missing there, okay? Carb counting, taking insulin, setting up your blood sugar formulas, that sort of thing. The second, though, is future, to borrow motivation from the future. In other words, where do you want to be with your diabetes? Or what will that get you if you accomplish that end result? If I pre-bolus and blood sugar stays stable, I'll feel more energized, I will feel more proud of myself, I will have gained more discipline, and ultimately it's going to enable me to be my best self for my family, for my friends, for myself. I can accomplish new things in my career, in sports, in longevity, I can live longer, I can be happier and more present, I get more freedom and more flexibility. And all of a sudden, it's like, whoa, why would I not do the thing that I know I need to do? That sounds amazing. I'm getting chills right now just thinking about how good life can get if I am committed to doing the things I know are necessary in order to get to that desired result. So one, think of the pain from the past. The other, think of the benefits in the future. Those are two things that I use to help motivate me, give me reasons as to why I might do something that is undesirable or uncomfortable or difficult, right? Why would I willingly put myself through discomfort? Well, because either the pain is so great from things I have experienced, or the benefit is so incredible that I know I will experience. I use one of those two things. Sometimes it's both, but really it's just finding the right motivation for you to do what you think is necessary, because diabetes does not end. It's a race with no finish line. So you can't just pretend that you're going to stay motivated based on willpower alone. It will disappear. You'll burn out, right? And I've been there too. Thinking, oh, I'll just push through. I can just continue going and going and going. And then you get to a wall where you just hit it, you stop, and you're like, I don't want to do this anymore. This sucks, right? And that's reasonable, considering everything we have to deal with on a day-to-day basis. But if you're having a hard time with motivation, past pain, future benefit, which one are we pulling from? And then getting to a point where you are committed, you are disciplined into doing the things that are necessary in order to accomplish the end result, which for all of us, I believe, I could be wrong, but I believe most of us, the end result that we're after is to have diabetes so well controlled, not just because we want to control diabetes, because I didn't ask for this, did you? Not just for control's sake, but so that I can live a more normal life. At least what I would deem is what I perceive as normal, right? To where I have more flexibility and freedom in the choices that I make, so that I'm not living for my diabetes, I'm living with diabetes, to where I can eat what I want, I can do the fun activities I want, I can go do this half Ironman without being worried, you know, sick to my stomach because I have all the lows and highs that I might encounter. No, it's so well controlled that I know I can do these things. And I can do them confidently. That, for me at least, is the end result, is to be able to live my life with blood sugars as close to autopilot as possible so that I can live my life to the fullest. So I hope that helps. A little bit of a different topic today, but as I'm going through that massage experience in my head, I'm like, yeah, that was productive pain. It was uncomfortable. It hurt. Right? But I knew it was good for me. And then now on the other side of that, I do see the benefits, right? So in that moment, I was looking at future benefits. How am I going to feel after this? I'll be able to train harder. I'll be able to perform better. I'll be able to perform without pain. But I was also looking at previous pain, right? I've had stress fractures. I've had pulled muscles. I've had torn muscles. I've had issues in my ligaments. I've had lots of different injuries. And using those, I know that things are needing to change if I expect to train more in the future without experiencing injuries. And ultimately, nothing changes if nothing changes. So my behaviors, my actions had to change. Otherwise, I was doomed to repeat the same issues, frustrations, and roadblocks that I've encountered in the past. Same is true with diabetes. If you see that your blood sugars are not as perfect as you'd like them to be, you're still getting highs and lows and bouncing around, and it's more volatile than you'd like them to be, well, you're going to have to change something, because if nothing changes, you're doomed to repeat the same mistakes, whether you're conscious of these mistakes or not. We are very habit-routine individuals. We tend to repeat the same decisions unless we are hyper-aware of them and willing to change them. And that is where discipline comes in. So discipline is the word of the day for today's episode. Be more disciplined and you will achieve better results. And this is, the pre-bolus is just an easy example, but this comes into play for a lot of diabetes decisions. If I do have a high blood sugar, how quickly am I aiming to bring that high blood sugar down? With insulin, or maybe going for a walk or drinking some water, or the other five different strategies I have to bring blood sugars down, right? If my blood sugars are low, am I just sitting there like dealing with it? Like, this is so annoying. Or do I take care of it right away? Or on the other side of a low blood sugar, do I eat the whole kitchen? Oh, I'm low. I don't feel good. 50 carbs. Ooh, I didn't need that many, right? That's a lack of self-discipline. So being able to be disciplined, to know what you need to do and then actually do it. And if there is a gap in knowing what to do and doing it, like if you're the kind of person that is committed, is disciplined, is willing to do what is necessary to thrive with your diabetes in order to gain access to that best version of yourself, to gain access to the best life that you deserve and you know you deserve, but maybe there's a gap in knowing what it is you have to do, and you're just sitting there on the starting line like, I'm ready, coach, put me in. I just need to know what to do, and I will do it. Just tell me what to do. Well, then you got to find out where those gaps need to be filled, right? Find the right expert, find the right coach for whatever it is. If it is blood sugar specific, I can't help. I'm not a therapist. So, you know, if it's mental health related, I've had those experiences, but I can't help in that realm. But if it's numbers related, like you think that diabetes math could fix it, if diabetes math were a thing, then this is the spot that you need to be. You found your people. So congrats on that. What I would recommend, highly recommend you check out, is the Renegade Warriors newsletter. And I think I have, I don't. I'll put it on the screen. The Renegade Warriors newsletter is a collection of research, of strategies, of innovative topics every single month delivered to your doorstep. And, you know, you've got hundreds of people that receive that every single month. They love it. It helps them to take one step forward each month. So that way it's not overwhelming, but it gives you just enough info to make progress. Right? And progress is key. If that's something that you think would be helpful, as it has been for many other people over the many years we've been doing this, you can actually get a free issue on me. I want to make sure you enjoy it and get some golden nuggets out of it first. You can go to renegadenewsletter.com. Highly recommend it. In fact, we just did a whole revamp on it. It's really cool now. So it's got a bunch of new resources that we pack in every single month. So go to renegadenewsletter.com if you want to check that out. And then today, as kind of a homework piece for you, I want you to sit down and just think about, am I willing to do what I know is necessary to get there? That's step number one, because if you're not willing, nothing else matters. In fact, if you're not willing, don't get the newsletter, because I can give you all the info in the world, but if you're not willing to use it, it's not going to help you. It's not going to make any changes, right? So step one, are you committed? Are you willing to do what's necessary? Are you disciplined? But step number two is, do you know what to do, right? So those have to go together. If you're willing, but you don't know what to do, you're just sitting there on the starting line. What do? I'm ready. Just tell me what to do. You need to go check out the newsletter, get plugged into our communities, and ask questions. Get informed. Now, if you know what to do, but you're not willing to do it, that requires you do a little introspection. Check in on yourself. Why am I not willing to take care of this? Am I burnt out? Do I need to see a mental health therapist or a specialist, right? That might be the missing piece. And for a little while for me, that was the missing piece. So it depends on what phase you're in, but it typically is either information that you're missing, go get the newsletter, or it's a willingness to use the information. Check on yourself first. But those two together, the right info and an action taker, somebody who is committed, game over. You win. So I hope that was helpful for you guys today. Thanks for hanging out. I got to go get my workout in for today. So I'm going to go hop out and go for a little run. But I hope you enjoy this one. I always love hearing about you guys and what you've pulled from these episodes or even reading about your own stories. I love reading those comments. And if you haven't yet, leave a review. Would love to hear your thoughts, good or bad, just giving us some feedback and letting the world know if they should check it out or not. All right, so we'll catch you guys next week. Have an amazing rest of your day. Go to RenegadeNewsletter.com. We'll see you guys then. And keep up the fight.